and the thoughts of all our hearts,
be now and always acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Some words from that first reading from Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. The Book of Psalms is recognized as the hymn book of the Hebrew faith. It's been said that the Psalms express a whole range of human feelings and experiences, from dark depression to exuberant joy. They are rooted in particular circumstances, yet they are timeless, and so among the best loved and most read parts of the Bible. Today we are stirred, I'm sure, by the same emotions. We puzzle over the same fundamental problems of life. We cry out in need, and our worship is the same as those early Hebrews, as they worship the God of the Bible. We find it so easy, don't we, to identify with them, and we find their sheer dogged faith, the depth of their love for God, both an inspiration and a challenge. This year marks the 50th anniversary since man first set foot on the surface of the moon. Apollo 11 with Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins blasted off into space in July 1969. Man's fascination with space is centuries old, but for man to walk on the surface of the moon was perhaps the greatest human achievement of the 20th century. The universe in which we live is a fascination for human beings as he seeks to discover more about space and the stars and the planets which exist in our universe. The Lovell radio telescope at Jodrell Bank in Cheshire continues to probe the outer limits of our universe day by day. For the early Hebrews and for many ancient peoples, space was a place of wonder and of awe. And C.H. Spurgeon calls Psalm 8 the astronomer's psalm. As those shepherds tended their flocks of sheep by night, as our Saviour was born 2,000 years ago, so centuries earlier, David would tend his flocks of sheep in those Judean fields before becoming one of Israel's greatest kings. By day and by night, he was able to meditate and to reflect on the world and the universe of which he was but a tiny part. Psalm 8 is a wonderful meditation by David of the wonders of God's creation and man's place within that created order. O Lord, our Lord, he declares, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So David begins his meditation and reflection as he worships the God of creation, whose glory is above all that he has made. Our God is the God who is in all and is above all. As the writer of those first words of the book of Genesis says so majestically, in the beginning, God. And what could be more definitive than that? In the beginning, God. As David looked up into the night sky above those Judean hills, he could wonder at the beauty of the moon and the stars. He could admire the patterns they formed. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. I enjoy assembling airfix kits of model aircraft and ships. Sometimes the work is very, very intricate and time-consuming. One needs great patience, great care, great dexterity to achieve a final satisfactory result. And it's the same here, isn't it, in this psalm? It is the intricate planning and meticulous care that God has put into the works of his creation, the work of his fingers, which result in order and in perfection. So David is led to profound thought and wonder as he considers the majesty of God's creation. In Psalm 19 and verse 6, David also reflects on the wonder and the greatness of the sun as part of God's creation. He writes, "It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." But Psalm 8 asks many questions about the universe, about man, and about man's place in the universe. The what, the why, and the wherefore. So firstly, let's ask the question, what is the universe? According to the scriptures, it is the expression of God's name, his majesty, and his glory. At the outset, verse 1 reads, "You have set your glory above the heavens." And Psalm 19 reminds us again that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The universe of which we are a part has a unity and also a diversity. The evolutionists would argue that the universe came from a single organism. But the critical question here is, from where did that single organism originate? That's the question that would trouble me. A creator God is not even considered. And the biblical record affirms that creation is by God. It's many and varied elements harmonize because they are modeled on a God who is a God of order, not of chaos, nor of random selection. A deeper question is perhaps, why does the universe exist? Quite simply, the Bible tells us that it exists to reveal a God whose glory is greater than it, above the heavens, as verse 1 says. This he did in order that he might receive praise from his creatures. And as the writer of the book of Revelation says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Even children and infants praise him. Also the inanimate praise him, as the words of Psalm 148 explain. And Jesus used the words of this psalm to counter those who were opposed to him as he entered Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. As he entered the temple area, children cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were incensed. But Jesus replied, "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise." The fall of the angels, of course, deprived God of some of his worshippers. They drew man after them, and nature revolted. But God's reply was to enable the universe to continue to function as an expression of his glory. Then, as we read in the biblical record, he raised a special people to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, as Exodus 19 verse 6 explains. But this was only to be a prelude to the church of God, as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 illustrates. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness to light, and who would spread his praises over all the earth until time finally comes to silence the foe and the avenger. Notice, secondly, that this psalm asks questions about man. And that great question in the psalm is, what is man? What is man? Compared with only a small part of the universe that David can see as he looks up into the vastness of the heavens, man seems insignificant in size, in glory, and in durability. He realized that the moon and the stars had outlasted countless generations of man. And he came to the conclusion that man was weak and a son of the ground from which he was made and to which he would return. However, this psalm shows us that man has a special relationship with his creator, who takes particular notice of him and particular care of him. And the Gospels illustrate this. If we have a look at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 25 to 27, we read that Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" And he goes on to talk about the lilies of the field and compares them to the glory of Solomon. And Jesus says that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of those lilies. And God's care for his people is much more than that. He loves each one of us. And he is a God who seeks communion and fellowship with his people. He modelled each one of us upon himself and gave each one of us a spiritual nature. And this sets us apart from all other parts of the created order. So, what is man's place in the universe? Man was made, as David reflects, a little lower than the heavenly beings or the angels, and crowned him with glory and honour. And Psalm 8, verse 5, literally translated, says this: "You made him lack little of God." But the rebellion and the fall of the angels ultimately led to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. But God's purposes for his creation was not to be thwarted by Satan's rebellion. God's only Son, the Lord Jesus, was God's answer to man's rebellion and to his disobedience. Through Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, the restoration of God's creation is assured. Ultimately, angels and those redeemed by Christ will unite in the praise of God. And this is the glory and honour with which man is crowned. And in verses 6 to 8, the psalmist explains that man was endowed with God's nature in order to be his representative here on earth. He was to cultivate it and rule over all living creatures. But the fall, of course, interrupted that process, so that now there is fear between man and the animals. The elements of nature are often hostile and will bring us down to their level. Although made a little lower than the angels, when Christ's kingdom is fully restored, those in Christ will once again be restored to sovereignty with him. We shall reign with him in that perfect creation. And so, as we reflect and as we meditate upon this wonderful psalm, let's praise and let's glorify God's holy name as David did so many centuries before. Let's assure ourselves through our faith and our trust in the risen and living Christ that our salvation is assured. Not only assured during our time here on earth, but in that new creation, in the new heaven and the new earth. And this will be the culmination and the completion of God's great plan and of his purposes for his creation. How great indeed is our God! What wonderful assurances he gives to us and all people for this life and for all eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for David and for his meditation and reflections about this psalm, about you, about the universe, and about our place in it. And we thank you that we have that special relationship to you, and we ask that our lives might glorify the risen and living Christ till he returns and we are united with him in that new heaven and that new earth. And we ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. So before our intercession.